Hey kids, first I have to say, warning, bad language alert. I will repeat, bad language alert. I am pissed off, so don't say I didn't warn you, but I feel it coming. So if you are offended by bad language, please fast forward to the end of my piece. Fuck the fucking Democrats. It's been a gradual thing, this slow moving to the right of the Democratic Party. And in case you haven't noticed or have been living under a rock, it's gone into overdrive since the election. They are now eating their young. The DLC and the DNC are flying the party's plane into the side of a mountain on purpose. Lately, they've joined the far right-wing yapdogs in trashing Michael Moore. Yes, Michael Moore, perhaps the one person in the country with the biggest iron cojones who isn't afraid to take on the BFEE and is maybe the one person who single-handedly opened more people's eyes and turned more people around to the truth about Bush than anyone else with Fahrenheit 9/11. They are attacking and desperately trying to distance themselves from him. Well, fuck Michael Moore's critics, and fuck the DLC and the DNC. I have been a Democrat all my life. I'm 45. I have always voted for Democrats, and I will continue to pursue the defeat of the BFEE. But what I will not do is be abused by this pathetic excuse for a political party for one more second. I am done. I have no idea right this minute what party I'm going to register with. Maybe independent. Maybe I'll start the Michael Moore fuck them party. It doesn't really matter. The only thing that matters is that these coward fucks do not represent me, nor will I have them speaking for me. I'm out. The Democrats have turned into what used to be the Republican Party, and the modern Republicans are too blinded by the Bush cult to see their party has also abandoned them. Or maybe they do see it and are happy to be the psycho bully thug party. But I have hung on for as long as I can, believing in some pathetic fantasy that they'd wake up and fight, especially against a third rigged, stolen election. But instead, they act like scared little wimps who don't want to get continually raped by their abusive captors and cower in the corner and think of ways to make their captors like them better in some misguided belief that they'll stop being abused. But that doesn't work. Abusers just change what they want to keep the thrill of abuse going. The Democratic Party has abandoned me. I have no desire to become more like the right. I do not share the same values as these sadistic, bigoted freaks. I don't believe mainstream America wants to slip back to the mindset and values of the fucking 50s, and I don't care what the media and our whore government says. Either the Democrats in D.C. are on the Bush payroll, or they've gotten lazy, and either way, they should be fired. It should be a felony for any person in Congress who does not read the entirety of a piece of legislation before voting on it, like the Patriot Act. They should not only be fired, but criminally prosecuted. I don't know if that means there is a test before things of this import come to a vote or what, but they should be held accountable. And if no one has the time to read 1,500 pages, then the author needs to make it shorter or take parts of it out so it's more cut and dried. I am sick to death of how lazy our government has become and the way it now works. I believe in fair, honest elections, and unfortunately, that has become such a quaint idea of the past. I believe there is a clear conflict of interest with any company that makes voting machines and those same companies making donations to any political party, person, or committee. It's also a clear conflict of interest for any Secretary of State who certifies votes to be working for any candidate. Both of these scenarios should be illegal. I believe lobbyists are criminals. I believe it is wrong for the lumber lobby to criminalize hemp just because it is more profitable in making paper out of wood. Fact: marriage is a civil union in this country. You can get married in a church all you want, but until you sign the legal documents of the county clerk's office or city hall, it is not a legal union in the eyes of the state. I believe no one should have the legal authority to tell me, while I am of sound mind, what I can and can't do with my own body. And it shouldn't matter what sex I am. You can't tell me who I can sleep with, as long as they are of legal age, who I choose to live with or become legally bound with, what I can consume, what I can buy, what I can read, where I can travel, what I can watch, or what I can listen to. If I don't like it, I'll change the fucking channel. And most of all, if I am terminally ill, living with mind-blowing pain, and choose to end my life, and I can get anyone, especially a doctor, to help me, that is my fucking business. I believe if my state says it's fine to ease someone's discomfort by using a drug that the big pharmaceutical companies don't make a dime off of, well then, it's fine. Fuck the pharmaceutical companies who are behind this pathetic charade. The Democratic Party has abandoned the Democrats. They've abandoned me. I refuse to become more like the right. I do not share these twisted values. I believe in liberty and justice for all, not just the Christian white folk in the backwater red states. I am also sick to death of red state welfare. We here in California give $58 billion a year. Let me repeat that. $58 billion a year more in federal taxes than we get back in services and refunds. While our trauma centers and libraries are closing and our police and fire departments are being cut. Fuck that. That $58 billion a year alone would take care of our state budget problems several times over. That's on top of what those goons at Enron owe us. Oh, yeah. And we're still paying more than $2 a gallon for gas here while OPEC is seeing its highest production in 26 years. Fuck them, I say. I am sick of the Democrats blaming the wrong people. Karl Rove stole this thing. We won big time. The exit polls were correct. They just operate better and make the fucking mafia look like amateurs. And until someone actually grows a set and goes after them, proves it, and throws them all in prison, we're screwed. Honest elections are a thing of the past. Okay, I'm done for now. That's all for this week. I'm Tally, and this has been La Perspective Femme.
I saw my first NFL game last Sunday. We took Mrs. Bart's touring sedan up to St. Louis to watch the lowly San Francisco 49ers. You know, it's got to be tough on them because they were champions, like, you know, every year, what, from 90 to 2000, somewhere in there, maybe 85 to 98, whatever. They were just champions every year. It always got down to them or the Cowboys or them or some other Eastern National League team. And now the poor bastards are 1-11. Oh, that's got to hurt my good friends in San Francisco. I don't know if San Francisco is a big sports town. I suppose it is. But how awful to have your championship team be 1-11 now. But anyway, we had a chance to see them in St. Louis at that. Oh, you know something else? This probably isn't even worth going into. But it would be nice if we went to see them in Rams Stadium. But no, it's the H&R Block Stadium or something. It's just so dumb. If they need $20 million, why don't they raise a bond issue or something and get, you know, I just hate that. I'm not even going to, I could do some work and give you a list of all the stupid idiots. Same for the bowl games. Oh, it's the Totino's Extra Crunchy Fiesta Ranch Style Orange Bowl. That is just so awful. America, what has happened to you? You've just gone to hell. Anyway, had a chance to go to a ball game, so we took it. This ne'er-do-well felon friend that I hang with sometimes, he's the guy that taught me HTML. He was pretty sure we could get tickets, and go figure, they weren't sold out, so he was right. So we got there, and we got some tickets in the nosebleed section. And I hadn't seen a football game of any kind since college, so that's, what, 30 years? Hadn't seen a football game in person of any kind in 30 years. So, I mean, you know, I've seen a lot of football on TV like everybody, but it was amazing how different it was. You know, you get that little rush of excitement the first time you come out from, you know, underneath the stands, and you get to see the field for the first time. That's kind of cool. But, of course, we had the nosebleed seats, so the field looked very small. But then again, we were so high up, we got a eagle eye, whatever, view of the field. And it's very strange how you can hear nothing. You know, on TV, when you're watching a game, when they're getting ready to hike the ball, they put the microphones on the center, and you hear the quarterback and hear the, hey, 23, 24, hut, 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 and all that. But in real life, when you're that far away, you get nothing. So, you know, we're looking from far, far away. We look down, they all line up, and all of a sudden they all start running, and everybody's kind of going every which way, and you can't really see anything because you're a damn mile away from the action. And if you're lucky, you get to see some of it on the instant replay. But I got to tell you, and this will be a short rant, but what really pissed me off the most, when we first got to Tulsa back in the late 70s, we went to a Tulsa Drillers or Oilers. Oh, that's another thing I hate. I just really hate it. You know, when they have to name the team after some idiotic local, you know what I mean? The Houston Astros. Oh, we got NASA in Houston, so we're the Astros. And, you know, the Miami Dolphins and the Houston Oilers. We're the Oilers. And, you know, we had the Tulsa Oilers. We had the Oilers and the Drillers and the Roughnecks. Every stupid fucking name in the world. We're from Oklahoma. Oklahoma's oil. So we got to be the Roughnecks or the Oilers or the Squeakers or the Handjobbers or something that's got something to do with oil. And it's just so dumb. You know, think about Chicago. Chicago, they have the Bears. They got the Cubs. They got the Bulls, you know. They don't have the Windy Cities. Hi, we're the baseball Windy Cities. Or we're the tall shoulders or the broad shoulders. Or Chicago does it right. I like the way Chicago did that. They didn't get stupid about it. The biggest problem I had with the game, outside I didn't like being in the whatever it was stadium, you couldn't hear the game, but you could always hear the announcer. That's where I was going. We quit going to these games in Tulsa because the announcer wouldn't shut up the entire game. The idiotic announcer talked like he was a TV guy the entire game, like Bob Costas. He wouldn't shut the hell up for 1 second. He somehow mastered that thing where you can breathe and talk at the same time. The announcer would not shut up, and it was so stupid. While the game's going on, I mean, for the, whatever, 10 seconds that there's action on the field, the announcer was quiet. But the second the guy got tackled, they go, did you know that your Ford dealer right now, you can get this kind of car at this kind of price? And then as soon as that was over, hey, how about flying on a Southwest Airlines? We'll go here, we'll go there. And right after that, it's, hey, how about a Chevy in your driveway? And it was just constant, like, hey, dude, shut the fuck up. I'm trying to watch a ball game here. What's wrong with you? So they'd do like 3 or 4 commercials. Then the cheerleaders would do a song. They put the cheerleaders on the big screen, and they'd shake their butts, and then they'd play some stupid song from the 60s. I mean, oh, please. I mean, there's no good song they could play. But like I said, I haven't been to this is my first NFL game ever, so I may be saying things that you've known for all these years. But I just couldn't. I doubt I'll ever see another NFL game. The announcer did not shut up the entire time. He just wouldn't shut up. 3 commercials, then a song, then 3 commercials, then a song. Oh, there's a guy with the ball. Now 3 more commercials and a song, 3 more commercials and a song. There's another football play. 3 more commercials and a song. It just never shut up. Then, towards the end of the game, the St. Louis quarterback gets sacked, and it was a really awful, ugly thing, too. At one point, we hit their quarterback, 15 yards, rushing the penalty, or rushing the passer, and it was awful. It killed a really big drive we had going. And then 15 minutes later, one of their guys grabs our quarterback, slams his ass to the ground, and he don't get up. And so the crowd's going, hey, how about a flag here? But no, it doesn't work that way. Anyway, the guy, he's on the ground. He don't move. So all the guys in out of uniform come running out there, your medical people, and they're helping. It took them a long time. They finally helped him up, and they helped him off the field. But this is the starting quarterback, you know. It would be nice if we had Kurt Warner, but no, they had to trade him. So now they got this Bulger guy who has got something wrong with him, and they pull him out of the game to put in some new guy. And the whole time, they never said a word. Everybody in the stands is wondering what happened to the quarterback. Is he coming back? Did he break his arm? Did he separate his shoulder? Did he blow a disc out in his neck? What's wrong with the guy? You know, nobody knew. The yakety yakety idiot doing the commercial song. That guy, no, can't get no information out of him. So what can we do? Guy next to me, he pulls out a cell phone. He starts calling people at home. Hey, can you tell me what's going on at the ball game I'm watching? We can't get any information out of the idiot announcer who, commercial song. Can't get any sports information out of the announcer at the damn ball game. So these people all around me, they're on the phones calling their relatives. Can you tell me what's going on at this game I'm at? And of course, they all got different answers. Turns out, one of them said separated shoulder, one of them said sprained shoulder. You know, there's a lot of different rumors going around. But the idiot announcer, we couldn't get shit out of him because he was busy with more commercials. Oh, and then they had, you know, marriage proposals, and they had, you know, they would zoom in on people in the crowd. You remember I told you a story about Guns N' Roses where they'd zoom in and the girls would flash their tits, and, you know, it wasn't quite like that, but that was the, it was all men behind the camera, so it was all pretty girls they had to zoom in on. But, hey, would you mind showing some of the game? Can we see a little of the game? I'm in the nosebleed seat. I'm a quarter mile minimum from the action, and I can't see a damn thing. And I look up at the screen to see what's going on. There's a girl shaking her butt on the screen. I just want to see a little football. Am I asking too much? So, probably will not ever go to an NFL game unless I get some written guarantee. I want to double my money back guarantee that I'm going to see some football if I go to the damn football game. And I was very disappointed. I mean, I like dancing girls. I like this and that. But if I'm going to pay the money, exorbitant prices. The cheapest ticket was $42. We had scalp tickets because it wasn't sold out, so it was cheaper. But the higher dollar tickets were $80. For $80, I'd kind of like to see a game. If there's three people going, it's $240. Can I have a little bit of the game, please? But no. Commercial song. Jesus Christ, they got a lot of commercials. Every bunt between seat rows had a giant commercial on it. And of course, when you try to look at the score somewhere on the ring around the stadium, it's all commercials. You got to fight hard to find, oh, everywhere you look, you're trying to get some information. It's just more commercials. Everything's commercial. Seems to me, let's stop giving these idiotic players $10 or $20 million a year. That Peyton Manning, who's getting, what, $20 million a year? Why don't we give him $2 million a year? He can get by fine on $2 million a year, I promise. And we'll take that extra $18 million, and we'll take some of these. Oh, another thing about these commercials. One time the Rams got a sack on the 49ers, and they said, oh, look here, it's a sack. That means we're giving a, you know, so-and-so grocery store is giving $50 to charity towards the sack fund. You know, somehow there's a connection between the grocery store and the sack and the sack and the sack fund. And I got to thinking, you lying hand job. There's no way if I went up there with $50 and said, I'm with barcup.com, I'd like to buy one of those $50 sacks. They would say, get out of here, moron. Those sacks are $1,000. We're not going to mention something on the PA or on the TV for no damn $50. That's $1,000, you stupid moron. So what that means, they say they're going to give $50 to the orphans, you know, for this sack. But no, they're giving $9.50 to somebody. And, oh, and the poor orphans are getting away with 1/20. They're getting away with a nickel on the dollar. Now, giving money to the orphans is a fine thing. I'm not fighting about that. But to disguise their fundraising thing as some kind of help the children deal. Oh, there's a sack. So there's 50 for the little kids. No, that's 950 for the billionaire owner of the team or whoever's in charge. I don't know, the league, whoever gets the money. I felt personally assaulted by the idea that they're using this charity thing as a ruse to raise money. If it's a charity and there's a sack, give the little children $1,000 instead of 50. Blow me with your $50. That's a one for me, 19 for you. Remember the Beatles tax man? That's what they're doing. That's how fucking outrageous that is to say you're giving the money to the widows and orphans and you're lining the pockets of the billionaires. It sounds like a lot like Bush's tax plan. Let's take $1,000 worth of donation and give the little kids 50 of it, and the billionaire keeps the 950. See how this Bush thing is just infecting America? So in closing, I don't know if a college game is this bad. Again, hadn't been to one in 30 years, but the constant, and you know, by definition, any song that comes out of those speakers is going to be so triple distorted, and anything that the announcer says is going to be so incredibly distorted. It would be bad enough if it was as clear as the tones coming out of your television set or whatever. But no, this is so triple distorted, and it's constant, nonstop, commercial, 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 song, commercial, 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 song. And if you can catch a little football in there somehow, you're a better man than me. One other thing, as long as we're on sports, I agree in principle with what McCain is doing with this steroid stuff. Now, doesn't this disprove one of the big Republican things about, no, just tell the government to stay out of it because the business will police itself? Because, like in this example, if baseball fails to regulate themselves with the steroid deal, eventually people will fail to bring their kids to the ballpark because they don't want to see their kids worshiping these steroid monsters. But that's always a lie. That's always been a lie. It always will be a lie. Business cannot police itself because they are so greedy. They'll do anything. They'll slit their mother's throat for a nickel. They'll do anything. They'll film their mother being raped and sell copies for a nickel because they got to have every nickel there is. They are so greedy. Nothing will stop American greed, especially in the hands of a Republican. And that's a problem here. McCain says he's going to... It reminded me of one of the hitmen in Godfather 1 where he walks over to Fredo and says, Michael says, if you can't handle your wife, I have to. And he says, you better, because he was like a Senate Democrat. All he could do was whimper and say, I'm sorry. So that's what they said. If you can't handle it, I will. And that's what McCain told baseball. If you guys can't handle this, I'm going to introduce some legislation next month. So that gives them maybe 30 or 40 days to do something. I heard him on the radio today. Oh, we tried to do it, but the baseball players union, they won't let us. Well, hey, let's all go on strike. Who cares? If the bastards are so gung-ho on steroids, and who are these people? What percent of baseball players are on steroids? Is it half? I mean, you kind of think not. You kind of think only 10%. But if I'm a home run hitter hitting 30, 40 home runs a year, and here comes Barry Bonds hitting 73, and I know he's going to get $10 million a year because he's eating steroids and I'm not, and he's the big hero and I'm not, and he's getting all the endorsement contacts and I'm not, and he's on the cover of every sports magazine and I'm not. Let's say we're roughly the same kind of hitter, but because he's eating the steroids, the ball's going out more. So, you know, the cheaters win. That's the bottom line. So if the cheaters win and they all want to win, why wouldn't they all cheat? See, that's what I'm saying. We don't know if it's 5%, 10%, half. We have no clue what it's like. But clearly baseball can't police itself. Oh, and who was that idiot? Was it Bonds? Somebody said, oh, I injected myself with steroids for years, but I didn't know what it was. Well, I bark up. Whenever I inject myself with a drug, I tend to have a clue what it is, at least now that I've been out of college. And that Marion Jones, oh, remember I really liked her in 2000 when she was down in Australia, fastest woman in the world. Again, I don't have time to get into it, but the guy who testified said he sold her a bunch of drugs. He saw her inject them again and again. He even added a little color to make you like it, you know, like she had to do it in the thigh because she didn't like it in the arm. Or, you know, he started giving details like, oh, yeah, he must be telling the truth because he's got details. You know how that works. Baseball can't police themselves. They got the steroid problem. And so, yeah, if they don't fix it, and clearly they're not going to. This thing I heard, the radio said, I guess it was a higher up in baseball saying, we suspended Steve Howe for drugs 7 times, and the union was on her back to let him back in an 8th time. And that seems a little crazy. I mean, I'm for freedom of drugs, but if you're in a, you know, if you've been suspended 7 times, you pretty much don't have a rule against drugs if you can get caught 6 times and come back for a 7th try.
Of course the people don't want war. But after all, it's the leaders of the country who determine the policy. And it's always a simple matter to drag the people along, whether it's a democracy, a fascist dictatorship, or a parliament, or a communist dictatorship. Voice or no voice, the people can always be brought to the bidding of the leaders. That is easy. All you have to do is tell them they are being attacked and denounce the pacifists for a lack of patriotism and exposing the country to greater danger. Hermann Göring at the Nuremberg Trials.
I'd like to read you a letter I got. I know you're going to hate this, but it's very, very short. From the Southwest Airlines credit card people. Dear Bart, as your credit card company, we value your business. We are writing to share information with you about a recent error that may have affected your Southwest Airlines credit card account. With the first use of your Southwest Airlines account, we were pleased to provide you with the first use bonus credits that were promised in your new account offer. I think that's 4 points, which is, for two cards, half a trip to Vegas. In addition to this first use bonus, we discovered that a second first use bonus was applied to your last statement in error. Since this was our error, this second bonus will not be removed. You can use them towards a future round trip award. That's what I need, another trip to Vegas. We sincerely apologize. That's okay, Southwest Credit Card. I forgive you. We sincerely apologize for any confusion or inconvenience this issue may have caused you. Oh, yes, I am out of pocket. Our goal is to provide you with unparalleled service. When we fall short of this expectation, it is important to us that we work directly to minimize any impact to you. Thank you for your understanding. If you have any additional questions, call us at the toll-free number noted above. For your convenience, we're available. Yak, 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 yak. Signed, card member service. So, I'll be damned. I have got Vegas trips coming out the rear end. Which brings me to a point I've been avoiding, but I'm going to have to say it sooner or later, and I might as well use this occasion. We have two more trips that are going to expire in February. So we're going to have to go somewhere. And I know that the smart move would be to go somewhere boring, like Kansas City, sorry Kansas City, or, you know, Louisville, or Houston. You know, there's just something about a free trip to Vegas that's just real hard to turn down. So I'm not sure we're going to Vegas, might go somewhere besides Vegas, but if you hear that I've gone on another trip, please don't panic. It's not an invitation to unsubscribe. What does one do when free trips to Vegas just keep coming? Okay. Got a couple other things I want to ask you about. Have you seen there's a new show on NBC coming up in January? It's called Medium. It looks real creepy. It looks a little like The Sixth Sense, that real nutty movie where Bruce Willis couldn't go to the bathroom for 6 years or 6 months or 8 months, whatever it was. The poor guy couldn't use the restroom for almost a year. I forget how long it was, 6 or 8 months, 9 months. Poor guy couldn't use the restroom. That's got to be awful. He probably gained a lot of weight in that time. Anyway, this new show on NBC called Medium stars Patricia Arquette, I think. I think I recognized her. But for me, she's got lots of credibility. I forget the name of that movie she was in, but it was one of those Damien Omen Antichrist kind of gods coming. You know, she started getting the stigmata, is that what you call it, in her hands, and, you know, the devil appeared. Hey, you want to turn me religious, just have the devil appear before me. If he can tell me the name of the girl that I felt up when I was 5 years old, I'm his, and I'm a believer now. Oh, but the point of this whole Medium show is that she sees the dead, and she sees people that aren't there, and she talks to people who aren't there. In one of the promos we saw on NBC, she's in bed, apparently with her husband, middle of the night, and she thinks she hears something, so she sits up in bed and looks around, and there's like 50 dead people standing at the foot of her bed. And her husband says, "Everything okay, honey?" And she says, "Yeah, nobody there." And she's staring at these 50 people who are dead. And later in the previews, they show her going to crime scenes and having conversations with the bodies that were taken out like days earlier. It shows her sitting there talking to nobody on a bed and nodding and getting answers and asking more questions, getting more answers. And the other investigators are looking at her like, "Hey, where's she buying her drugs? We got to follow her." But that's one of the shows I'm going to check out. Oh, also in January, Mrs. Bart's really looking forward to the return of Alias and 24. So, yeah, big TV time to come. We got nothing but Rudolph and repeats for the rest of the month. But then come January, we're going to have some good TV again. That would be nice. Nothing like having some good TV. Okay, what else we got? I had my heart broken the other day at Sam's, whatever you call that, wholesale. The government told them they had to take the word wholesale off their name, so they're just Sam's Club now, I guess. And I know I'm a bad, bad person for shopping at Sam's, but it is cheaper. I mean, what are you going to do? You can pay this guy 12, or you can pay Sam's 10. There's times when $2 means something. But anyway, so I'm at Sam's, and I'm browsing through the new CDs. And I see, under the computer games, I see a giant box that says World Poker Championship. And so I pick it up and it says, "No Limit, Texas Hold'em, plus five card draw, Omaha, yeah, who cares? World Poker Championship software, $14.82. I'm thinking, well, I don't really need, you know, who needs one of those? But then when I looked on the back, it says, show off your poker skills playing real opponents via LAN play. Now, I don't know what LAN means, but it's something area network, and it's got something to do with the Internet. So I thought, aha, finally, this is just what we need. Because what we need real bad is some software that we can all buy cheap. See, that's what got me excited. $14.82, that's cheap. And I thought, well, geez, we could probably get 15, 20 people online, not at the same time, but we could get us a little poker club going, and we can meet on Tuesday nights or something and play for poker sitting in the safety of our own home kind of deal. So I got all excited. So I rushed my hot little hands onto it, and I ran over to the checkout stand. So I come home, and I hook it up, install the software, and I keep looking around, and I don't see any way to hook up to the Internet. And I looked and looked and looked. So this is valuesoft.com is where I went to valuesoft.com and I clicked on their customer support and said, I can't find the online button. Where's the online button? And they wrote back, oh, that was a mistake on the box. We don't really have the capability to put you online. That got to the printers before we had a chance to start. I'm going, well, look, how is that possible? Why would you put, this is like Rush and the White House dog comment. He always said that was a big accident that Chelsea's picture appeared, but he was telling a big long story about the White House dog, and there is none. So there was no reason for Rush to be telling the story about the White House dog, so how could Chelsea's picture going up there be an accident? He's just a fat Nazi lion bastard, or he was at the time. Now he's just a lion Nazi bastard. But that reminds me of this here. Why would they put show off your poker skills playing real opponents via LAN play if they didn't? I mean, there's just no reason to put that on here. If they had it on there and the government made them stop, now I can understand how some of these boxes might have accidentally gotten out. But it looks to me like the ValueSoft.com people, or ValueSoft, they just don't know how to make it work online. And that broke my heart because I really, really was looking forward to playing some poker on the Internet. So if anyone out there knows where we can get poker software, and it doesn't have to be fancy, it can be even crude, you know, it can be these little stick people, and as long as it kind of keeps score and knows what beats what and deals out hands at random, that kind of thing. So if anyone knows where we can get one of those, get with me. And if even if it's real expensive, maybe we can bootleg it and divide the cost 20 ways. So if it's $1,000, well, we get 50 people in the poker club, that's $20 a piece. That's just a couple of annies there. So anyway, broken heart. No online poker for Bart today. No poker for you! Here's something I ran across. I thought was odd. Just one thing I got. I'm going to have to learn how to do this better, but I got a whole lot of just hit-and-run kind of do-to-do little 60-second things that need to be said sometimes. And poor Tommy Mac, if I send him a dozen of those, that's a day's work to do all the bumps in and out of these little. So we're going to try to string a bunch of them together. I think it's striking that we've done more shows after show 29 than we have before. So how about that? Not sure what that means. It means something, since we're on show 61 you're listening to. Had another dream I wanted to tell you about. This is kind of, it's an odd dream. I know you like the odd dreams. But I dreamed we held a fundraiser for Wesley Clark at a Mexican restaurant. You know how dreams are. You just have no idea. Batman could be there, or, you know, my dead grandpa. I mean, you just don't know who's going to show up in your dreams. It often makes no sense. So we're having this fundraiser for Wesley Clark at some kind of Mexican restaurant. And for some reason, we were eating Mexican steak. I'm not sure Mexican steak is a dish, but that's what we were eating. And we had a real good turnout. And for some reason, not sure why, but there were celebrities there. Maybe there's some kind of flashback to DC-2002. But among the celebrities, I wish I could remember who all of the celebrities, but one of them was Steven Seagal, and one of them was somebody like John Travolta. I don't know. I doubt Seagal is a Democrat. Travolta might be. But anyway, we all sat around, had a good time. We were drinking Chinaco and eating Mexican steak for some reason. And my old buddy Larry by the Sea, he sprung for a hayride kind of thing. It was kind of a get on the Clark bandwagon. I'm not sure how that, somehow there's a parallel there, but somehow, you know, it was a get on the Clark bandwagon thing. And when we got done eating our our Mexican steak and drinking some chinaco, we all took our drinks and jumped on the back of this flatbed truck that was full of hay, and we started riding around like just a bunch of idiots. And so we're riding around, and I see Steven Seagal standing there, and I did not use my head. Somewhere in the same issue, I mentioned how one way to avoid getting beat up is to not go up to linebacker types in a bar and poke them in the chest and explain shit to them. Well, for some reason, unwisely, I asked Steven Seagal what he was drinking. And this makes no sense, but he said a pink 8, like the number, a pink 8. And I kind of giggled and said, what's a pink 8? And he started telling me, oh, it's got, you know, those girls' ingredients, amaretto and orange schnapps, peach schnapps and stuff. And I just started giggling more, and I said, I never figured you'd be drinking a girl's drink. And he kicked me, not hard enough to do a lot of harm, but just enough to knock me off the little hay wagon there. And when I fell on the ground, I woke up. And I think that was about the most damn interesting story I ever had. Okay, here's another one. This is racy. The women aren't going to like this one, but I just thought it struck me as odd, so I thought I'd bring it up. There is a Buick commercial. Buick has a new car called a LaCrosse. Not sure what it's a LaCrosse between. But anyway, it looks like a decent car. It looks like a nice car. And, you know, contrary to popular belief, Buick does have some quality. It's my opinion Buick is one of the top-rated quality vehicles coming out of Detroit, if that's where they come out of. But anyway, that could be years-old information. Anyway, this commercial grabs my attention every time. Because what you're doing, you're looking at this beautiful car, and Aerosmith's Dream On is playing in the background, and there's a fantastic-looking African-American woman all dressed up, got your hair all done fine, got your really expensive-looking earrings on. She's in some kind of evening gown or a ball dress, or I don't even know what those things are called. Anyway, she's standing there looking at the car, and she's rubbing her butt. And I don't know why, but it's just sexy as it can be. She's just fine looking at that car and rubbing her butt, and I don't know, that commercial comes on, I can't look away. I even know that it was a commercial for Buick. You know, a lot of times, there's times when you are sick to death of a commercial, you just can't stand to hear the commercial one more time, and if someone were to ask you what the commercial was for, and you don't know, that's a failed commercial, because it made you mad at somebody. You don't even know who to be mad at, but trust me, by the end of this commercial, you know that Buick has a new LaCrosse out. And there's apparently a couple versions of this. Well, at least three. I saw a version during the same show. This was on last night during a Vegas show that was on Monday night. And during the same show, they had another commercial for Buick LaCrosse where there's two dudes driving a car. It's like, who gives a flying? But anyway, in one of the other versions, this fantastic-looking African-American woman with her evening gowns and her fine hair and earrings and the butt rubbing, she's in the car kind of lounging around like she's stretching. It's like she's in bed. And she's, I guess, in the driver's seat. It's convertible. And she's kind of rolling around. I'm thinking, boy, I need me a Buick. I need me a Buick bad. But I can't afford car payment at this point in time. But I just thought, cheers to Aerosmith. Cheers to Buick. There's probably too much sex in this world. But when you do it right, hey, that makes a commercial.
You are listening to Bart Cop Radio at bartcop.com. Keeper of the Democratic Jewels.
Well, there you had it. Show 61. Hope you found something in there that made you smile or made you think. Like to thank everybody who subscribed. Like to thank the people that dropped the occasional check in the mail. It really helps to have your support. I'll get to work on show 62, and I appreciate you listening. From Knuckle Drag, this is Bart, and I'm out of here.
Johnny, angry Johnny, this is
Jezebel.